Blog Talk Radio.
Check, one, two.
Welcome to Flavors. Sit down. Have a cup of flavor.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another segment of the Artist Roundtable. This is where you, the artist, can put it on the table and share your thoughts and concerns with others of like mind, or maybe not like mind, but we keep it safe, we keep it respectful, and, you know, we enjoy a challenge and the great conversations that have taken place on the shows thus far. For anybody who is listening to the show live, feel free to call in and share your thoughts on any subject in regards to independent underground artists. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. There's no callers on the line yet, so where's my people at? You know what? I will just go ahead and play some indie music. That's how we do it here on Flava News. And hopefully here in the next few minutes, we'll get some callers in. So let's scroll down my big, big list of artists and see who I can pull out to play for you. All right, this is actually a new group that's been introduced to me from here in the Pacific Northwest, but I'm really, really digging their sound. And this is the Knox Family with their track called These Streets.
Yo, man, I don't think they heard. inflation, interest inflation, predatory lending, debt peddling information, global economic collapse, it don't faze them, campaign contributions keep politicians complacent, fiscal rapists, less you got, more they taking, rich get richer from the poor's devastation, dollar hegemony, currency domination, global banking industry teetering on some fakes, refinance your home for a low monthly payment, for clothes vacant, middle class shrinking, homelessness peaking, impact only just catching up to this nation, more bankrupt declarations than college graduations, collection agents buying and selling your information, Americans poverty pimping is at its greatest, hypocrites, U.S. human rights violations, all out war against poor population.
Yo, man. Yo, man.
Dropping $110 million to open a new jail we don't need, while the district can't even find a measly 3.6 to keep our schools from closing. Want to know what's really going on? Just follow the paper trail to downtown, Olympia, Wall Street, D.C. As long as poverty pimps keep profiting from our problems, we can't wait for change. We gotta create our own solutions straight from the people's movement. That's why we keep it pushing.
Good afternoon and welcome to another segment of the Artist Roundtable. This is where you can put it on the table and share your thoughts and concerns with other people who are artists or service providers or even fans. So far, I'm surprised I don't have any callers on the line. So if there's anybody listening live and are interested in coming on and sharing dialogue with me, the call-in number is 347-857-1189. Otherwise, I have no problem turning this into a show where I just play tracks from a variety of underground independent artists. But I would love to hear from you and love to, have a discussion. I did have a topic that I wanted to talk about. I'm not going to throw it out there yet until it appears that maybe some people have come and wanted to join in. So, Joanna, I see you in the chat room. Hey, how are you? I don't know if you're interested in calling in, but the call-in number is 347-857-1189. Anyway, let's see. Let me just jump into another track, and I'll just play tracks until, you know, I see some callers or people that join in the chat room. I'm going to play a piece by a spoken word artist who was the first host for my open mics at my coffee shop. I have much love and respect for him. He's doing some great things out here in the Pacific Northwest. This is 60th The Messenger with his signature piece, Now or Never.
It's now or never, time to right the wrong. It's now or never, heed the words to this song. It's now or never, time to be strong. Freedom is a state of mind. That's a saying you hear mostly from those who have been held down for years. When true freedom is a dream unending, you find yourself deep in fantasy, pretending that this goal you seek is within reach through diamond jewelry, flossy cars, and big house. You gotta have that house, baby. All shiny things designed to keep you blind and undermine your need to see the truth or even care about it. As long as your attention is distorted by the glitter of material pursuits, chances are that you can't see that which is someone else's tool of division and misuse.
Got you blind.
Destined to keep strings attached like puppets who dance and sway in the wind, presenting you and me but false idols as an individual wealth, but no unified enrichment, no true freedom in the end. It's now or never. See the truth through the clouds. It's now or never. Lift us up and be proud. It's now or never. No haters allowed to stop our flow. Things have changed since yesterday, yeah, that much
is
true. But how much has really changed when our mentality still says, I'll do me and
you
do you. A unified effort was made to enslave the body, mind, and soul of those who sweat, blood, and tears built this nation, this whole land. To this day, that effort is maintained to keep a corrupt power intact. They must have our continued separation.
Can't bring them together.
Open your eyes and see what is right in your face. United we stand, divided we fall. They already know this to be true. It's the very model they employ to gain control of this world, and the very tool twisted to keep a hold on you. Face the truth. See the proof, black man, white man, yellow man, people of color, rise.
All people rise.
Remove the blindfolds placed to block your eyes. Strip away the mask, face, and see beyond the disguise. Together we must break out of bondage, for theirs is not the intention to loosen the ties. Open your eyes. It's now or never. Mm-hmm. Each one, teach one. It's a fitting phrase. Beseech one, reach one. I'll spread this word till my dying day. Let's find a way to unify a community, a people, a race, a nation. The struggle must be won. It's time for an end to all subjugation. The task is at hand to cure the blight of corruption. The disease called greed must be destroyed before all fall before its eruption. The seduction of the idea to have more than everyone else is deadly. Killing brothers by their own brother's hand is catastrophically on the rise and increasing steadily. We must awaken if our entire soul is taken, forsaken, and left to rot, as only our willing bodies are needed to continue the devil's plot. It's now or never.
It's now or never.
It's now or never. Wake up and be liberated. It's now or never. It's now or never. The truth has been long awaited. It's now or never. The time has come.
Now or Never by 60th The Messenger from right here in the Pacific Northwest. Again, this is the Artist Roundtable, but I can easily turn it into a flavor in the house because you know me, I love to play tracks by underground independent artists. So that may be what this turns into. Maybe not. I'll just leave that up to you, the listeners. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. I think I'm going to talk just for a few minutes and let people know the projects that I've got going on through Flava News. First, I've got a youth project that I'm working with a youth organization called Unleash the Brilliance. And this particular organization is reaching out to, I hate the term at-risk youth because that's putting a label on them, but youth that are facing challenges and really need some support, not only from, you know, adults in their community, but also by, you know, peers in their community to try to, you know, stay on the right path, continue their education, and make good choices when faced by challenges. And so one of the things that I talked to Terrell about was as we're seeking funding, you know, to fund the different projects under Flava News and Unleash the Brilliance, you know, creating some fundraisers. And so I'm putting together a chat book and also a CD of audio pieces that are kind of geared towards acknowledging the struggles that youth are going through, but also kind of giving them hope and a solution to, you know, those things. And it is something that is very near and dear to my heart. I really, really say all the time to different artists that I have conversations with, you know, you as artists are very, very powerful and influential in how people think. You know, and I think that if we could try to put some positive messages out there for our youth, you know, for the people that care for our youth and stuff, maybe in just a very small way, we can change the way that we are thinking and feeling, you know, about life and all the things that we as adults and our young are facing today. So I'm very, very blessed to have some artists that have stepped up to send in written pieces to go into the chat book and also pieces to go in onto the audio CD. I'm going to go ahead and play a track that I was so overwhelmed when I received this piece. This is by a dear friend who's normally here at the Artist Roundtable, so he must be busy today, but this is the first time that I'm actually playing this piece, and this is by John D. Green, and it's called Believe.
Believe in yourself. Believe in your own power. Believe that you can achieve. Believe your dreams will come true. Believe in your own self-worth. Believe that hope will guide you. Believe that a smile is worth a thousand words. Believe that you can do anything you set your mind to.
Hey, young world, let me apologize for all the pain, all the hurt, all the lies that they have told you. 'Cause I know deep inside there's a brilliance that you no longer have to hide. It's time to let your light shine.
Believe that you can do anything you set your mind to.
But first you must believe. First you must because I was just like you. No one to look up to. But then I found an infinite source of wealth. I started realized that I could be the very best hero to me because I believe. I'm asking you to believe.
Believe your dreams will come true. Believe that hope will guide you.
By John D. Green and his family, and John is out of the Detroit area, Detroit, Michigan area, and I feel so very, very blessed that he would take the time and the hard work. This wasn't something that he did overnight. He put a lot of thought, you know, into the words and the production of the whole piece to create for the Flava News and Unleash the Brilliance youth CD. So, John, much love and respect to you. Thank you so much, you know, for creating this, you know, with your children and your family for us to use. Now, another project that I've got going on right now, which is called Dope Emporium. It is an annual hip-hop festival here in Seattle, Washington. And I know that a lot of you, people think, you know, when it comes down to hip-hop, it's all about, you know, just the music and this and that. What this festival is about is all elements of hip-hop going back, you know, to the days of the origin, the culture of hip-hop, bringing in b-boy, b-girls, graffiti artists, producers, DJs, of course, MCs, and just all the elements. But Dope Emporium also brings together and builds bridges with the community, you know, bringing a variety of people and elements from the community in, you know, to join in this festive but community-building event. This year's focus is on our youth and the betterment of our youth. And so much of the topics and the different activities that will be taking place on that day are going to be focused around, you know, of course, positive messages you know, just embracing our future, our youth. If you're interested in getting involved in you're in the Seattle or the Pacific Northwest area, feel free to contact the Dope Emporium Committee at dopeemporium@gmail.com. You can find more information out about these two projects that Flava News is involved in by going to flavanews.com and hit the Projects and Events page, and I've got more details in that. And we welcome you, you know, to get involved. These are two projects I really strongly believe in, and if you know me, if I don't believe in it, I'm not going to jump on board. So these are two projects that I really, really believe in. And every Thursday until Dope Emporium takes place, which is November 13th at Washington Hall, I'm going to have on a couple features of artists or people that are participating in Dope Emporium at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and through November 11th, I believe it is. So stay tuned. Get to know some of the artists from my hometown. I got to spend 3 hours with many of them on this past Saturday where we recorded a video and they worked on an audio drop, which was an absolutely amazing experience for me to to witness so many hip-hop artists in one space creating together. The egos were left at the door, and it was all about, you know, Dope Emporium and shining a positive light on the community, hip-hop community in Seattle, Washington. So you can find out more about that, you know, by going and staying tuned to flavornews.com. You know what? Let me just jump into, you know, more indie music. I know several people contacted me ahead of time saying they weren't going to be able to call in and participate. That's okay. That's okay. I'll just keep it going. I'm going to play a track by an artist out of the California area. He's one of my favorite. I tell this young man all the time, he makes a 50-year-old woman want to fall in love again. And this is Robert G with All My Love.
Yeah.
That was All My Love by Robert G. out of the California area. I think maybe I'll take a moment and just tell people, you know, a little bit about myself and why I do what I do and who I am. I call myself the artist cheerleader. I have a big passion, which was built in the days of when I owned my coffee shop, Slava Coffee House, here in Seattle, Washington, between 2003 and 2008. Where from there I became an independent book reviewer. Well, I started out actually with a book review team and then branched off to doing it on my own. And from there I started selling literature by self-published authors out of my coffee shop from across the United States. And then began hosting open mics. One for adults every Friday, and then we also hosted one for children and one for teens. And that's where my passion really, really grew. I've always been in a position. I think this is honestly what God's put me on this earth to do, is to kind of fight and support the underdog. You know, I have worked as a domestic violence advocate. I have worked as a homeless advocate. Right now I work with at-risk homeless youth. And just do a lot of support, behind-the-scenes support, and online support for a variety of underground independent artists. The reason why I do that is there's so many artists out there, mainstream artists, who many of us dig in our pockets and help continue to support and live their lifestyles while we kind of struggle. I think that there are so many talents in our own communities that deserve the recognition and spotlight, you know, on their talent. One day, once upon a time, those mainstream artists started out as a nobody, you know, underground, self-published, you know, whatever it is. They started out as a nobody, but somebody believed in them and decided to get behind them and help push them forward. So that's kind of what my goal is that, you know, I run into a variety of artists from across the United States and now even across the globe that I really, really believe in and believe that they deserve some support. Now, one of the conversations online that's taking place is, you know, there's some bashing of, you know, independent artists, and that's kind of one of the things that I wanted to talk about today. So I do see that there's a caller on the line. I'm going to bring you in. But if there's anybody else who would like to join in on the conversation, the call-in number is 347-857-1189. Caller from the 443 area code, you're on the air with Lady Flava on the Artist Roundtable.
How you doing, Lady Flava?
I'm very good. Who is this?
This is Mr. Nat Burns out of the Baltimore area.
How are you, Nat?
I'm doing pretty good. First time caller, long time listener.
It is.
Avid supporter of your cause.
I appreciate you calling in, Nat. And I, you know, one of the things that, you know, we do here on the Artist Roundtable is, you know, we put things out there. You know, how we have all these sidebar conversations, whether it be online or, you know, on the telephone with each other about, you know, concerns or struggles that the independent artists face. Well, you know, I decided after, you know, some encouragement from some artists and people that are my support system said, you know, Flava, take it to the airwaves. And so that's what I did. And normally there are like the phone line is lighting up, and today just was not one of those days. But I appreciate you coming in. So, Nat, are you back to doing a radio show?
No, but I will be shortly. I'm freeing up some situations so I can come back to doing that also, because I really enjoyed it. I like yourself. I love independent artists. I love artists, period. But the independent artist is very special to me because it takes a very bold, courageous, brave person to step out on nothing but their faith and go about achieving something that, you know, a majority of people would say they shouldn't do. And to be an independent artist is a labor of love, because there's not really much into it unless you put that much more into it. You know what I mean? There's not much you can get out of it unless you put that much more into it. And there's a lot of sacrifices you got to make. It's an uphill battle. So I definitely champion, you know, the cause of the independent artists from all walks of art. I mean, the graphic artist, the singer, the rapper, the producer, the actor, the director, so forth and so on. There's so many different avenues that you can take and be an independent artist, but I do champion that cause. And anybody that would bash someone that's stepping out to do what their heart calls them to do, you would definitely have to take a deeper look at that person, you know. And if you are that person, because everybody's anonymous on the internet now, so there's a lot of anonymous bashing that goes on. I mean, I would be hard-pressed to actually know who these people are, what their habitat is, and what dream are they chasing, have chased, or have conquered. You know what I mean? Like, so you have to kind of take it, as an artist, you have to grow very thick skin, and you have to take it with a grain of salt. And you got to consider the source. You know what I mean? Who is this person? And if they're anonymous, they're not man or woman enough to step up, say who they are, and present their criticism. You know, I think there's a difference between bashing and criticism. Everybody's a critic, but there's, you know, such thing as, you know, constructive criticism and destructive criticism. And I think more people, you know, buy into the latter. And, you know, some people do it just to get attention that they're not getting in their actual lives. So, you know, like I said, you got to consider the source and take it with a grain of salt.
Right. So tell me this, Matt. Well, first of all, why don't you tell the listening audience about the group that you are a part of?
Nat Burns. I'm a part of a group called De La Sha. That's D-E-L-A-S-H-A. We're basically a unique group of guys. We do R&B, and I add a little hip hop flavor to that entree. I love food, so I always describe it as a recipe as to how we come together in the studio and make the music that we make. We consist of mainly men of a certain age. We're no young whiffersnappers, but we're not like old fogies either. We have open ears, open arms, open hearts, and we only do it because we still love the music and we love the audience that looks for this type of music. Because we feel that there's a neglected market in the 30 and over demographic as it pertains to entertainment right now. I mean, you're either having to reach so far back in the past to have fun, or you have to kind of grit and bear this new stuff that's coming out, which I don't have anything against a lot of the new stuff that's coming out personally. I don't have anything against it. But I have my personal preference, and I don't prefer to hear a lot of it. So, you know, we wanted to make something that spoke to us and would speak to people coming from our demographic, and that's what we're doing with De La Sha.
And I appreciate that. I have to tell you, you know, the very first time that I heard, you know, your music, you know, of course I fell in love with it, and maybe that's because I'm 50 years old, huh? But, you know, I agree with you. It's, you know, I think, I don't know, I'm at that age where I'm constantly saying, back in the day, you know, this type of stuff was not created, but it was so popular and so accepted. What happened to the mindset when it comes to the music that's being created, and why is certain things so accepted? But, you know, before I go any further, Nat, you know what, why don't I play a piece by De La Sha, and I'm going to play, I'm going to play It's Over.
Oh, wow, that's a good one.
See, sometimes you gotta leave well enough alone, you know?
You gotta let it go.
Can't force what ain't there.
Nah.
I mean, I did my best.
Did all I could, you know?
Guess my best wasn't good enough.
They lost shot.
See, we don't even talk no more. We ran out of words to say. I really hate it, gotta be this way. In the beginning, swore I never thought I'd see this day. But when the evil forces come into play, it's a done deal. I get chills, imagine how my son feels. Cause he the only one that's innocent in it. That's why I took it to the Lord and repented. I knew I fell short. That spell caught me in a vulnerable space. Now every time I see that look in your face, you know the look of disgust for somebody you can no longer trust. I'm dying of a deficit the way it should be. That's why I had to start living for me.
As I'm sitting here tried to love you, baby. While I was going crazy, I thought you'd understand your man. Instead, you call me lazy. Shouldn't have let it phase me. I should have overstood. I kept the hood up. Looking back, I know that wasn't good. The word is wrong. A woman's gone. It's torn away before she's actually gone. I thought hard and long about going back. But then, knowing that a zebra don't change stripes, I thought it's
hard.
Got a couple of elements. It's very diverse within itself.
Thank you so much. I mean, it comes naturally for us. We run the gamut of different ingredients in the group as far as talent is concerned. The oldest member is a little older than yourself, and he's like the base of the group. Lenard Davis, he brought everybody else together. We have Sean Allen, who's actually from the West Coast out there in Oregon. And we have Daryl Brown, who's from Baltimore, but a nice baritone. And then you have myself, who's from New York, and I do what I do with the rap. But we definitely, when we came together, that was the point we were trying to make. I think that there's so many borders in the artistic community that no art is really being made anymore. Everybody's got this cookie cutter of what they saw work or get popular from somewhere else. So they go out and they take that same formula and they try to apply it to themselves. And you're just making a mess, and you're definitely diluting, you know, the art, and it's suffering right now. So I think more artists, and it's gonna have to be led by the independent artists to step out there on faith. Put your heart into what you're doing, believe in it 100%, and wait for the masses to catch up to you instead of following the masses. You know what I mean?
And I appreciate you saying that, because I think it's something that I kind of say as the one that's, you know, the fan and, you know, the potential consumer and the one that's watching. I think that there are too many copycats. You know, Drake did this, so let me, you know, I can do it or whatever, you know, and... it's just really interesting to me that, you know, I think that for somebody in my mind that stands out is when somebody is unique and different and has a sound or a message of their own. One of the things that stands out for me is, it's got to tap into my emotions, you know, and whether it's something that makes me want to move and groove or whether it's something that's going to make me want to think, you got to tap into my emotions to really get me to pay attention. But, Nat, let me just take a break right quick because we've got two other callers on the line with their hands raised, and let me bring them in.
Okay.
All righty. Caller from the 318 area code, thank you so much for your patience. You're on the line with Nat Burns and Lady Flava.
Hello, this is Joanna Ballard, Louisiana storyteller.
How are you? How are you, Joanna?
Oh, I am doing blessed, and now that you mention it, I work with a reggae funk band that has their own sound, and I do their press kit photos and CD covers, and I'm a multidisciplined artist, and that's what I like about them, and like what I've heard so far with De La Shaw is they've got their own style, and they're doing their own thing with their own sound instead of trying to, in fact, when people ask them to do cover, they say, oh, no, we can't. We've got our own record label, and we've got to play our own tunes.
There you go.
You know, if I can interject a little bit, I like what you said about the covers, because that's something that we're fighting with internally in our own group. It's like kind of split right down the middle. with those who want to do covers and those who don't want to do covers. I just think that you, you know, as a new group, any group, sometimes you're going to have to give people some familiarity to show your range. So
right.
I think if the group didn't look at it as a slight instead of another
They've been together for 20 years.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the band's been in existence for 20 years, and he makes a living at what he's doing, so that says a lot right there.
Yeah, it definitely does. But,
so,
you know,
but personally, I don't like it when a band does a cover. You know, now I'm 48. I'm almost Lady Flavor's age. And I'll be 49 in February. And I don't like cover because I keep wanting to hear the original band, and that's not it. You know,
right.
I would rather hear, and plus as a writer, I like to hear words, and I like to hear new sounds and new ways things are put together. And that's just my personal taste, so.
I do understand that, but I think that, you know, the layman person that's listening to music, you know, that goes out and tries to, you know, they're, you have to captivate them somehow because the artist, you're already, because to me you sound like an artist. You know what I mean? Like you can't be the cause of the artist, so you're listening
yes.
for the art. You know, Lady Flavor's listening for the art. As a matter of fact, you guys' generation is that generation that, you know, transcended and stood on the art. That's why some of the best music was made probably during you guys' high school years in the 70s and stuff like that when the bands were making the music themselves and it wasn't like a drum machine
right.
or sample.
Yeah, exactly. You've got a point. You're right.
But I know I came up in a sample-driven generation where, you know, hip-hop wasn't even accepted until they started doing it over beats that people were already familiar with.
Well, so
right.
why not use beats or a rhythm folks are familiar with, but put your own tune to it. Come on. You got words
yeah,
you can
I
put together. No, but well, no way no one else can.
So we've got another caller on the line. This one's from the 206 area code. Would you like to join us on the Artist Roundtable, 206-391?
Yeah. Hey, what's up, Lady Flavor? How you doing?
Very good. Who is this?
It's Toxic, Guy Gonzalez.
Oh, hey, Toxic. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself? Hello, callers. How y'all doing?
Hey, how you doing, man?
This is Toxic. He's out of the Pacific Northwest, and he's a hip-hop artist with a Memphis flair. Am
okay.
I correct?
Yeah, that's
with
right.
What kind of flair?
I call it Memphis. Memphis, Tennessee flair.
Ah, okay. Gotcha.
Anyway, okay, so Nat, when you mentioned the fact that Joanna sounded like she's an artist, she is. This woman is absolutely amazing when it comes to visual art, you know, photography, to jewelry making, to storytelling. And when I first met Joanna, you know, I came to know her as Joanna Ballard, the storyteller. And so she is. She, the thing that I love about Joanna is she's so eclectic. She just is like true to herself, and it's not something that I see, you know, often amongst artists. And so, and she has a true passion in supporting other artists. So,
yeah,
you're right.
Because everybody,
so now,
I mean, okay, y'all two are musicians. That's the one gift I don't have, but I'm trying to get talked into. But nobody's going to do a tune like you do it. No way, no how on God's green earth can they do it. And if you have a message, and I really love that De La Shaw tune she played, It's Over, and I really like the end of it. But nobody's going to do that like you do. We were talking about cover. Nobody's going to do it like the original band.
No,
so
no,
you've
no.
got your own style, your own flair, and, you know, you said wait for the public to keep up with you. I'm sitting here thinking, no, go on your own way. Don't sit around and wait. Keep doing things. Keep doing your own thing.
No doubt.
So I wanted to ask you, Nat, and I'm excited that you called in, but I want to ask you that what has it been like thus far that De La Shaw has now stepped out there, you know, and formed this group? And, you know, I don't know how long you guys have been together, because it hasn't been too many months that, you know, I've been aware of you. How has that been, and what kind of support are you getting or not getting?
To be honest with you, and to be totally honest with you, I think that there is a lot more that we could actually be doing for ourselves, you know, before I get into what other people aren't doing for us or in the way of supporting us. Because individually, each of us have been in this game a long time. And it's ironic that I'm speaking to you, because I actually started my professional music career in Seattle, Washington.
Okay.
I actually started right up there in the CD district, grabbed some chicken from Ezel's, go to the studio. I forget the name of the studio, but it was Mixie Mike and all these different guys. And
okay.
And I actually, Jace from Blackstacks used to have another group called Jace and the Fourth Party. And I used to do a lot
yeah.
of shows with those guys back in the early 90s to early to mid-90s.
Okay.
And you know, the West Coast is prime place for the independent market. The East Coast, it's a little different. It's a different animal. It's kind of changed, but it's a different animal. But to answer your question, it's been hard to gauge what the support has been like for us, because I just don't feel in my heart of hearts that we've done enough to get it out to the people to get a consensus on that. You know what I mean? And I think as
okay.
an independent artist, you know, you may think that you're doing a lot, because you go to a lot of places in your local area, and you may not feel the love in your local area. You may feel a lot of love in your local area, but both of those can be misleading. You know what I mean? You can get a lot of love in your local area, but if you haven't gone out of your comfort zone, you don't really know how that's transcending to other people. And then you can get a lot of, you know, no support in your area, and then you don't know what that's like if you go to other places and people don't know you and they're going to judge you based off the merit of your music. So,
okay.
you know, that if I answered your question at all, that's what I would say.
I think that, I mean, you know, maybe you, if you would define, you know, what that means or looks like for, you know, the group not doing enough.
Because the as everybody knows, the music is less than 10% of what's necessary mm-hmm. now, as far as marketing the music. You know, marketing and music are like direct opposites. You know what I mean? So
okay.
it just gets to a point where you have to put your thinking cap on, especially when you can rest assured in your heart that you've made the best music that you could make in that session. You know what I mean? And that you've grouped the best songs that you could have grouped together, you know, in the time frame that you decided to put this project together. Once that portion of it is done, you kind of, you know, concentrate on your best interest in the marketing and business realm of what you're doing for your music to make your art support itself. You know what I mean? So
exactly.
I think a lot of times we're so emotionally connected to our art that we don't give ourselves the room that we would need to market it effectively. You understand?
And that's one of the things they're not teaching in the schools and the colleges. They're starting in some of them, but they're not
mm-hmm.
teaching you the business end. They're teaching you to do the art, but they're not teaching you at least how not to I was blessed when I hooked up with this band I worked in, and if you don't focus on the business end, you're not going to survive. I'm sorry. If you want to survive on your art, that's how you do it. And you've got to get the bookings, the contracts, and nowadays the digital distribution and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Well, I think that one of the things that the promoters of artists, you know, talk about all the time is that artists are more just the creative souls, so many of them, that do not have a business sense about them. And because they don't understand the business part, it's like they do themselves a disservice.
Right. And I've run into some
that say, well, why don't you help me out like you do this reggae, this band you work with? And I say, great, do you have a demo? Do you have a press kit? No, we just want to be discovered. I said, well, I can't even go to a club owner and say, hire this band, trust me, they're good. Now, what club owner, if you ran your, when you were running your coffee shop, Lady Flavor, could you say that? You know, unless you knew me real well, you were not going to trust me in hiring a band to come through and entertain and that it would fit your audience.
Mm-hmm.
And if an artist, exactly, if Spaceport in chat said it's called show business for a reason. So unfortunately, a smart artist needs to concentrate on both. And like you said, I'm a storyteller. A lot of people that immediately think children. But I've done a CD release party. I have done a biker memorial. I have opened a reggae festival a couple of years in a row. I have, I tell people to think out of the box and push what you do. If people don't know you're out there, they're not aware that you're available. And I have a lineup for an adult audience, not that it's trashy, but for adults understanding, and I have a lineup for the kids. And it's hard, but if you just sit there and wait to be discovered, nobody's going to discover you.
Yeah,
exactly. And I think that you have to do your research, you know, your homework to find out what tools do you need besides your talent, you know, to get out there, kind of like what Joanna has talked about. So we've got another caller on the line, and I want to bring them in. The caller from, my keyboard's dropping, my just jumping around on me. Here we go. Call up from the 253 area code. You're on the Artist Roundtable.
Thank you, Lady Taze, LadyTaze.com. It's a hip-hop conscious awareness female artist and really enlightened by the conversation. So thanks for inviting me to the table.
Oh, thank you so much for calling in. You know, I'm so embarrassed to say I've all this time I've been calling you Lady Taz. And I apologize for that.
There's a cute story behind that. I actually, Lady Taz was my first name, my first 10 years, and when I changed to Conscious, I changed to Taze, but I still embrace both because there's a lot of history behind the Taz, so that's perfectly fine, too.
Okay. So Lady Taze is a Conscious hip-hop female MC out here in the Pacific Northwest. I had the pleasure of seeing her perform on the stage with Black Stacks at their album release party. And I also do have her CD, and it's absolutely amazing, very, very powerful. And the thing that I appreciate about you, Lady Taze, is that you stay true. You know, you don't, it appears that you have not sold yourself out, you know, to kind of fit in with what the commercialism has become about when it comes to the hip-hop community. Oh, this is getting exciting for me. I started out this show with, like, no callers and just started to play music, and then all of a sudden my phone line is lighting up. So let me just bring in one more caller, and then we can continue with the conversation. Okay, my let's click, click. Okay, come on. Lights are bouncing around on me. Okay, caller from the 206-229 area code. You're on the air with a variety of artists on the Artist Roundtable.
Hey, Lady Flavor, don't be giving out my full phone number online now. Everybody, my I'm calling from the 206. The 229 is the first. Hey, you telling my secrets over there, Flavor?
Okay.
Hey, if you're an artist, you might want folks to know your number.
No, I do not. Thank you.
So, Matt Burns.
Yes.
This is Jace from Black Stacks.
Peace. How you doing, fam?
That's Jace from Jace and the Fourth Party?
Yes, sir.
Yes, it is.
See, I keep saying the Fourth Party because y'all know y'all was my dudes back when I was Big Chuck. And,
what's up with your Big Chuck?
Yeah, it's been many moons, man. We used to do it up at the Rock Candy, Metropolis, Under
sir.
The Rail.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun out there, man, and it was all hip-hop, man. Everybody got along, wasn't no fighting. You know, those were some good days. What's up, Jace, man? How's the guys, man? I don't see them with you in the promo pics, but
Well, you must be looking at some 1995 promo pics, man. You know.
No. I seen the one with you, the young lady, and the other dude, but I didn't see like my man L Boogie that you used to be with, and Hawk and all them dudes.
Oh, you know, everybody's living, man. Everybody that you know developed their families and putting things together. L Boogie is now back in Gary, Indiana. You know, J Boogie is still running around. You know, Big Gurn is back in New York City. You know, Cass has just moved around, moved about, and taking care of families, having babies, and, you know, being blessed. So, you know, things is good. I can't really complain. You know, Black Stacks is good to me right now and treat me really well. So, you know, I can't really complain, man.
Yeah, and for you guys that don't know, you know, and like I said, it was so ironic, you know, that I run into Black Stacks, period, just to run into it and see somebody that I knew almost, we ain't going to say how many years ago, and share stages with just on a humble. But, you know, we also now share management. I just, De La Shah just signed to LaRue Entertainment. So, yeah, man. So,
well, congratulations, you know, to you, brother. Congratulations. I know we're still in the midst of doing some paperwork, but you know, as things go and times come together, you know, the real always come back together, brother. And you know how that go. Real recognize real in every city, every country, every situation. So it's good to hear that you're back in a roster that you know we more than likely will be on. So that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it would be nice because I don't understand. Jace is a superstar, man. He was a superstar back in, what was that, 94, 95?
Hey, man, you see, y'all get my phone number out. Y'all telling my head. You know, that's always worked for me to stay humble. Would you say I've been blessed through my career? I've been blessed.
Yeah, he had the lighting just right. He had the lighting just right. He had the moniker just one of those days, instrumental, and he was killing it.
Can you tell this has turned into a family reunion now on the Artist Roundtable? We've reunited the East Coast with the West Coast.
You are doing a radio show, right? I'm sorry. What's up, Lady Tazay? As you like, who else is on the line?
I want to meet the artist who was just talking, Johanna.
Joanna.
Oh, Joanna. Yeah. Joanna's out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I love that.
How you doing, sister?
I'm doing blessed. How about you, gentlemen? Sounds like y'all are having a great time.
It's good to know that this, you know, this guy's still around. But like Lady Tazay was saying, man, I love what I'm hearing from you, Joanna. And of course, I appreciate you, Lady Flavor. Like I appreciate Cook Food and Tazay. Right. I'm gonna do some googling on you so I can hear what you sound like, because a conscious, in this day and age.
The LT is for the lyrical tantalizer. Don't let him get you confused.
I want to ask y'all a question. Do y'all
ahead,
know about BMI?
BMI,
and
yes.
And Western New Music?
Baby.
Okay.
I'm at that, baby. So
okay. Either way.
Be careful.
Listen, I'm a spoken word artist.
Awesome.
And so I recorded my CD, and my band put music by it, so it's a song, so it's all registered on BMI.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Because there's no category for storyteller.
Right. True.
Yeah.
True.
So you got to think out of the box as well as know the business end.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say one thing that I really appreciated about the little bit that I got to hear from you goes right in line with thinking out of the box. And for myself being a conscious artist, I did a lot of non-traditional events. I do some of the national conferences. I do some of the political candidatorial events, and just get a great opportunity to do a combination of events because of that skill. Thinking outside of the box and really not limiting myself as an artist. So it's really, I've been really empowered to hear you talk about that. So
exactly. And everybody needs
very
art
important
in all its forms. And you need to think about, okay, I know a lady that had a storyteller at her wedding.
Wow.
And so people don't have to perform in traditional venues with the entertainment business in flux right now. Right. And I appreciate what I can't do, but what can I do?
Exactly. No doubt. And I think that you do have to get creative and think outside of the box. That's what I try to do through Flava News, and that's one of the things that Jace can speak on, because they recently, as a hip-hop soul group, performed at a fashion show. So who would have ever thought a hip-hop soul group would be, you know, performing at a fashion show? So did you want to speak on that, Jace?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm listening to the conversation around the non-traditional ways of promoting and marketing and getting people to hear your music, and I think it's, you know, with the online and with the international, you know, world community looking at, you know, the storytellers, looking at the listening to the music and listening to the stories that come out. I mean, it was a shock for me. And Silas Black particularly to be doing any type of fashion, anything, you know what I'm saying? Not because we don't have style. It was just more about the avenues in which a lot of the traditional fashion type of settings take place for us. It's usually it's all black fashion designers, or it's a hood fashion show, or it's this. So to go to another level, to be in a different type of venue. To rock for an audience that usually doesn't listen or look out for that type of music was a blessing to do, and I think, you know, it was an eye opener for us. It was an eye opener for them, and hopefully it sparked something that, you know, we can start doing a little more of. But you know, it was a very fun event. It was for fashion. It was the launch of Fashion Seattle, Fashion Network Seattle, who are all independent. Fashion designers came together and they did an idea. And it worked out beautifully. So, you know, as far as speaking on it, I just think I like the conversation around the non-traditional, going to a club, perform at a club, and that's the big venue.
Right, and have y'all thought about organizing? I know before I left Street Club, we had several events where you combined the visual arts, the music, the spoken word, and the food.
Right.
They had a feature. Mm-hmm.
That's something I would like
to.
Yeah.
Wow,
that's something
idea.
I honestly would like to explore. You know, I kind of have like the venue that I could do it at, but that is something that I want to explore. I don't know if, like, at my 50th birthday, you know, it was a variety of artists and a variety of talent levels. That came out from went from hip hop to, you know, poetry to acoustic guitar and kind of a folk pop singing and stuff, and I really, really enjoyed that. But there's this amazing urban glass blower that's here in Seattle, and I would really love to do a show with him. You know, where there is like hip hop artists that are performing and people being able to see his glass pieces, along with, you know, maybe another type of visual artist. So I think that's something definitely worth exploring. There is another hip-hop artist on the line, which is Toxic. Toxic, you're awfully quiet over there.
Yeah, I'm just listening, soaking all things up, you know what I'm saying? I'm just over here checking everything.
What's up with
your
champ?
Hey, what's up?
All right.
So do you have anything that you want to share your thoughts in regards to what you're hearing discussed so far?
Well, no. Today I had called in today to pretty much just take notes on what everybody's talking about and stuff like that. But when I got the floor, I just want to put a plug in real quick. Creative cream cheese pies. I'm having my tasting party November the 11th at the Skybox downtown Seattle. I have 25 flavors. I do gluten-free and I do sugar-free. And I also have four different styles and 25 flavors of cream cheese pies. So it ain't just rapping with me.
Okay, we need to throw a cream pie festival with with hip hop and, you know, and visual art all in one.
There it is.
Yeah.
What you think?
There it is.
Well, see,
you got quiet on me. I saw those pictures you were posting about the cream cheese pies or whatever. I'm going to have to try that out sometime. So one of the things that I wanted to put on the table today. That kind of stemmed off of a posting that off of Facebook today, and it, do you think for a fan, a potential consumer, street team, whatever you want to call it, somebody who's on the outside of being an actual artist, do you think that the independent artists or underground artists are presenting themselves in a fashion that makes it easy for us to support them?
Well, I think the problem with a lot of underground artists, you know what I'm saying, is that a lot of people, they, like, if you don't really have a name for yourself, you know what I'm saying, meaning, like, if you don't have, like, a little small fan base, you know, a lot of people really don't, like hear you or really don't see you. But, you know, on Facebook, I would have never known about JC Flow had JC Flow not been on Facebook, you know what I'm saying, posting on the wall about going to, you know, say, take such and such to this number here, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would have never known that JC Flow was trying to get the exposure or get radio play, you know what I'm saying? But because he did that, you know what I'm saying, I was able to support him with what he's doing with his single Drinks Up. And, like a lot of artists, they really don't get heard, number one, because of the content, the structure, the concept of their music. Like, the music really doesn't have any meaning. And nowadays, people are looking for substance behind music. You know what I'm saying? Like you just can't get in the studio and make a song about selling dope and robbing and killing and expect people to love it. Like, right now, people are, like people need some music that's going to lift them up, make them feel encouraged and focused to want to, you know, continue to, you know, love hip-hop. You know, people don't want to, like, hate hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? So it's all about the substance behind your music and what you're saying in your music for people to really want to accept you and book you for shows and stuff like that, you know?
Well, I think it goes to what my man Big Chuck, Nate Burns, just said the other day, just a few minutes ago. Me and him been talking on Twitter a couple of days back, so excuse me. But it goes back to feeding people. And when you talk about feeding people, you talk about feeding people's soul. Like the sister in Louisiana said, you know, it's about the story. It's about it's about the mental, spiritual, physical connection to all avenues. This is art. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, the one thing that goes with all of our names is artist. We're all artists, whether it's a visual thing, whether it's spoken word, whether we singing, whether we cooking, whether we dancing, whether it's visual, whatever it is. At the end of the day, you got to be able to protect the priceless value of art. And, you know, as we all know through time, you know, a lot of times when there's a movement like now, like now there's this conscious movement about bringing back some essence to art, especially in hip-hop. It's no more these, you know, these dances, these fly-by-night dances, fly-by-night slangs or sayings that you're getting over with. People want to be able to put a record in and do like I used to be able to do when I was young and watch my mother and father. Put a record on and clean up your house on a Sunday and don't have to go change it every 2 minutes because the language is bad for your youth or because the vibe changes. You know, it's back to that good feeling, the good feel of the art, and I think that's a big issue. It's good to hear everybody talking about it, and it's being done consciously. So to have outlets, to be able to know that, you know, one way to be heard is Facebook, but another way to be heard is getting online with Flavor News. Another way to be in connection is through Twitter. All these things are helpful. And at times, sometimes it's just me to put it out there. Sometimes I think it's hurtful the way that so much access is because get a confused message to people that think, you know, all I got to do is put it out there and get 2,000 friends on Facebook, that means I made it. You know what I'm saying? So, it's a big thing that we're talking about feeding the soul. We're talking about feeding the soul, the spirit, the mental.
Yeah. No doubt. Now, I would just like to jump in real quick because I got to get ready to get out of here. I'm out here in the street right now. But to take off from where Jay left off at is that I'm out here on the East Coast, and it's totally different than it is on the West Coast. I mean, you would think that it's more progressive because there's more people, when it's actually the opposite. I mean, there is a monopoly on people's minds out here. I mean, there was once a time when the radio was programmed by the community. When you call in, you tell them what you want to hear. But now it's the radio programming the community. They're telling you what you
yeah.
want to hear. You know, this
right.
is the most requested song
That's
that we
why
played
I don't
all
listen
day.
To that radio anymore.
Yeah. So with that being said, I would just like to say, you know, there was only one Monet, even though they, you know, they were able to print his work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and replicate it. You know what I'm saying? So, when like Jay said, when you got that artist at the end of your name, make sure that what you're making is art, no matter what it is you're making. Some of that garbage,
yeah.
I mean, they call it garbage, but it's all perceptive. It's all objective. You know what I mean? Like, when
right.
NWA and all of that first came out, people were saying that was garbage, but they didn't know how much that spoke to the people that was actually going through the stuff that NWA was talking about. So, you know, even with the Waka Flocka Flames and you know, the Short Bus Shorty Rap, as I like to call it after I saw that video, you know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, there's a demographic of people who don't understand anything but that. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you gotta
right.
give that to them, but we got to continue to make the music that we make and not compromise
yeah.
it, you know, just because
what
of what's selling or not
selling.
Can you not gradually introduce him to other aspects? I have run across kids that don't know anything but hip-hop and rap. It's degrading.
Mm-hmm.
And are surprised to find out there's other types of music out there.
Another yeah,
type
no,
of
that just goes along with traditional stereotypes and misconceptions on anything. I mean, to
right.
think that there's only one level of rap or one level of hip-hop. Hip-hop, first of all,
yeah.
is culture. You know, so
right.
that just goes in line with other misconceptions. But yeah, there are a lot of
somebody's
going
back. Yeah,
that's
I'm out here grind. I gotta take
hey,
off.
I gotta
that, take that, off, but I just wanna say I really appreciate this lady Flavor. Yo, Jace, it was nice catching up with you again. I'm gonna be checking out everybody, Lady Flavor, if you can, you know, kinda pull everybody that was on the phone today,
will.
So I can look
I'll
situation.
Send you their pages.
Yeah, don't worry, she'll
it,
give
man.
You my phone number. Don't worry about it. She'll give you my phone number.
Yo, Jace, man, hold your head, man. I'm gonna talk to you in a minute. And
yes,
everybody
sir,
else, be
same.
Careful.
You do the
stay
right thing. Stay safe out there on that East Coast, man. And let's talk sooner than later.
Oh, for sure, homeboy. It's gonna go down just like that, man. I love y'all, man. Y'all take it easy.
Yeah,
one,
nice meeting
you.
So much, mate.
Okay.
And so, just back in line with what we were talking about, just definitely there's a combination and a diverse population of, you know, hip-hop and artists in general on every level
yeah.
of artistry. But I wanted to tap a little bit into what Lady Flavor has started the conversation out on or posed the question. Were you talking about street teams and using them to expose the artists?
Well, one of the things, Lady Taze, that's starting to come out online is the fact that independent artists are not representing themselves properly. They're not educating themselves enough to handle the business aspect, and that they can no longer support independent artists. And so, you know, I just put it out there. I will basically go to my grave doing this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Have to say there are.
Well, I know for myself as an independent artist, I definitely looked at what level I wanted to be involved in the industry, and for
okay.
me, I found out very quick that a large portion of my influence was based on my business influence, on my level of influence with the business entity
right.
of the work. And so you're absolutely right, Lady Flavor, when you said that as independent artists, we have to educate ourselves on what the formula is to create success. And for some
but we
people,
also have to
their success,
educate our audience.
Yep.
Yeah, because some people's success may only be, you know, like Professor Jace just mentioned, 2,000 people that are watching them on Facebook or MySpace, too. So I think even just starting there with what does your success look like, and then creating a formula that centers around what that actually looks like and what it takes to be successful in music and as an independent artist. And like you said, Lady Flavor, a lot of us miss that mark because we don't understand how to create that formula.
and the other thing is, too, not to dish your other artists. Don't get messy. There's room for everybody. Nobody's going to take your share. And be approachable to the teens, the young ones. Because if something good happens to one of us, it happens to all of us. They're paying attention.
That's right.
And if we're hanging together, they're going to, okay, well, she's good at what she does. I wonder what this person does. She's hanging with them. So I choose to hang around with positive artists.
Mm-hmm.
That have a good vibe and share, like Lady Flava as a well, I think she's an artist in her promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree. I call her the connector for a reason.
I'm just a cheerleader with leopard pom poms.
Okay, so you and your leopard pom poms. Let me say this one time because I got to get out of here too. I'm sorry I called in and got off so quick. It's like a 15 minute conversation, but I just want to say. Joanna, right? That's your name?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think you made a very good point when you said we have to expose these youth to more than just what is media propelled to them and proposed
exactly.
to them. Because they, most of the time, I remember really, really quick, a quick story. I remember we were at my house and we were playing some music and the youth were around. And this was music that they aren't hip to because we weren't playing the Waka Flockas and the Tooted and Booted and all that. But we were playing this music. And all the youth stopped and said, what is that? We really like that. If we do not take on the responsibility of exposing our youth to the art, and not just the art that's being propaganded and propelled to them, and our youth to that, it is then our fault if they become so one-dimensional. The one thing that I really like about, like, Lady Taz, Lady Tajay, Lady Flavor, is that we also, all of us, work with youth. So it's more than just a conversation. It's an actual experience that they get to have. So when they get to have this experience, then the exposure becomes the main ingredient to how these young people are cultivated. And whatever they decide to do after they're exposed is something else. But if they're exposed to it, they can't say, nobody ever told me, nobody ever showed me, nobody ever told me.
Or given the tools.
Ever.
Exactly.
And so we all know that eventually one day we're going to become the elders. And so when we become the elders in the community and the youth are coming up, it's up to us to give them the tools they need so they can build too. It's all about building that next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our responsibility. And I want to say that's one of the things that Dope Emporium is all about. This hip-hop festival, this idea behind it is to not diss any aspect of the culture, not diss any aspect of the art, not diss any aspect of the community, but to bring it together so we work together, so we see each other, so we know how and when, and just how to deal with one another. Because a lot of times somebody says, I don't know how to reach a spoken word artist, or I don't know how to reach a culinary artist, or I don't know how to reach a teaching artist. But at the end of the day, we expose them to it. We mentor, like we were mentored, or a lot of us were mentored. We give them the tools to build, like we were given the tools to build. And that's why I'm so proud about Dope Emporium. That's why I'm so proud about having a younger sister like Lady Tajay, a connector like Lady Flavor, you know what I'm saying, working with people like Blue Shoes Media. It means a lot to me. It means a lot when I get an opportunity to see the effect and affect of what it is that we are able to leave our young people. So on that note, I just want to say, Joanna, it was a pleasure to hear you and talk to you. My brother was over there quiet. You know, the words you delivered, even though they were very few, were very true. Lady Tajay, Lady Flavor, I love y'all. I got to get out of here before my roof falls on top of my head and I'm all wet. So on that note, Y'all keep talking, keep doing, keep building, and ain't nothing but
God
love
bless.
And respect for everybody. Guidance.
God bless.
Thank you so much for calling in, Jace.
Harmony and peace.
All right. I feel so very, very blessed. You know, I mean, look at just, you know, the show started out very slow, but look at the people that have called in from, you know, across the United States. Unfortunately, there was another 206 caller, but they dropped off. So if you're interested in calling back in, please do so, and I will take your call right away. But, you know, Joanna and Toxic and Lady Taze, you know, the reason I started this was basically, you know, from conversations that I was having, you know, with Jace on the side. And I thought, you know what, we really need to bring this where anybody and everybody can come and join us, you know, in conversation, to network, to problem solve, to share ideas, you know, on how we can do it better, especially as independent artists or self-published authors or any one of those that I call, in a sense, the underdogs, you know. Because I say this all the time. Once upon a time, those mainstream artists were nobody. But somebody got behind them to push them forward, to give them the recognition that they're getting now. It floors me all the time when I see people, you know, running out and breaking the bank to support a mainstream artist coming to town. Not only do they purchase a $75 to $100 ticket, they also are going to get their nails done and their hair done and buying a new outfit, you know, and then they turn around and can't buy. Then they can't buy Pampers, you know, or food because they're busting their ass to get to a mainstream artist. But
and
then there's somebody who's absolutely amazing, like a Lady Taze, a Toxic, a Black Stacks, a Joanna, you know, that's putting on, you know, some kind of event or selling some type of art, and they can't even come out of pocket for $5-$10. And I don't understand that concept. So, you know, I call myself the artist cheerleader. Jace calls me the connector. You know, my whole goal is, you know, just trying to find creative ways, you know, to shine the light on you guys.
People also complain that as a visual art, on the visual end, and even from the storytelling, and I'm sure you musicians get this, well, why don't you just give it away? You want to pay. You're asking, how much for that?
Well, that's a huge thing.
And it's like, excuse me, yes, I'm a storyteller, but I practice just like a musician. At one event I did, I storytelled before the band breakdowns and setups. And one musician came up to me and says, how do you remember so many stories? I look at him and said, how do you remember so many songs?
Exactly.
We just had a business expo. Y King from the Mojafest Peace Center, City of Seattle, got behind it, and my company, Foster Enterprise, which is a youth and community leadership program that I founded in Tacoma, got together and put on a music expo that was pretty. I mean, we had a nice size and great turnout. Some fabulous people came at the Seattle Center at the Vera Project, and one of the things, Donna, that you just talked about that came up was the selling of the art. And I kind of called it out because a lot of the music executives that were there were saying, hey, you know, give your stuff away, give it away, give it away. And then in the same conversation, they were contradicting themselves, saying, we don't listen to it. If you put a CD in our hand, 9 times out of 10, we're not going to listen to it because that's not the most effective way. And I called that out and I said, if we're at a business, first of all, we're at a business expo. Let's talk about product, supply and demand, and how that all works. I put a lot of money into my music. I do the post-production. I do pre-production. I have fabulous people that come in, and I support them financially. I'm the executive director on my project, so I have a large cost associated with a quality project. And I deserve to be compensated for my work, for one. And for two, if this is not the most effective way and this is a business, why not treat it as such? Now, there is times where you have to be very smart in how, you know, there are some honorary, if you will, opportunities where you pass your music on. And you make that investment because there's a long-term connected to that. But you have to, again, have that skill and be able to recognize that also, back to what Lady Slable was talking about, the right tools.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a big phenom going on right now centered around that, and I totally agree with you, Joy. I actually was called out on the panel because the moderator said, well, hold on a second, Lady Taz, I never see you give music out. Can you talk about that?
So
my perfect opportunity to go into what I just said. So, yeah.
Exactly. And people, I actually tell young visual artists, do not expect to get the time to put into it. Mm-hmm. At least get your materials out of it plus. But if mm-hmm. people paid you for your time, even at minimum, they couldn't afford you.
Yep.
Yep.
In any genre. Come on, as long as it took y'all to put your production together, your talent to practice to sing over
mm-hmm.
the years, and not to mention one CD or one song, and they expect
yeah.
to pay us less than what they're willing to work for?
Ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
you know, when I talked to Professor Jace about that, he said, well, why don't you tell, you know, one particular person worked for a computer company. In addition, he said, well, you don't see Microsoft giving away free computers, you know, or you don't see other business entities giving away free products. So why should they expect the artist to compromise that business?
Are we still on the line? Because my sound disappeared.
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, yes, we're still here.
Okay.
Yep.
But I am going to have to disappear. I just got an important message I need to respond to quickly, speaking
okay.
of business.
So,
okay,
how
no
can I reach you? How can I reach you?
Do a search for Joanna Ballard, Louisiana Storyteller, or I'm sure Lady Flavo posted on her site. She has
yeah.
blessed me by featuring me in her Coffee House News a couple of months. So I'm really blessed with that, and I'm really blessed. That's the internet's how Lady Flavor and I connected, and she's been a real blessing to me. And so stay blessed and keep this roundtable going. But I really got to scoot. Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much, Joanna.
Bye. Bye, Joanna.
Bye bye.
Okay. So Lady Taze and Toxic, you are the only two that are left on the line. But first of all, before I forget, I have to tell you, Lady Taze, my son Michael came to the Hip Hop Expo, and one of the artists that used to always perform at my coffee shop, she also went, Akua, and
mm-hmm.
They both came back saying very, very good things, that they were very, very
good.
Glad that they went and that they experienced it and, you know, had the opportunity to hear the panelists, you know, speak on some of the subjects.
Yeah.
One of the things that my son Michael said was that, you know, some of the things he knew already, but to hear it
mm-hmm.
from somebody who's been in the industry longer, you know, it helped him to say, okay, I'm thinking on the, you know, in the right way and stuff. And so I have to tell you, I hope that that's something that Joaquin and everybody else continues, you know, to do, because I think that it's something that's very
mm-hmm.
valuable. One of the problems that I'm seeing is that people are jumping out there to be an artist, but are not educating themselves around,
mm-hmm.
again, the business aspect, but also putting their best foot forward and presenting themselves in a respectable and professional fashion when you're out there as an artist. You know,
mm-hmm.
I have to tell you, you know, I saw you perform first time. It was actually Cool Out 19 with Laura P. Kelly. So I saw you there
yeah.
the first time, and then the second time, of course, was at Black Stacks album release party, and that's when I bought the CD from you. But, you know, when you came up and you approached me about your CD, you know, it was all respect, you know. So
yeah.
something like that, you know, was like, I'd heard you already, so of course I would want to support. But just the way that you approached
mm-hmm.
me was respect. You know,
thank you.
So it was something that, you know, I have to, if I can, you know, when somebody comes to me in that manner, you know,
mm-hmm.
show my support in return, you know, and I'll be honest, a lot of times, you know, I'm broke, you know, so the way that I show my support is by, you know, hitting the share button or creating an artist roundtable or radio show,
yeah.
you know. And stuff like that. But the thing, you know, the thing that was really sticking out in my mind today, and just seeing some of the conversations that were taking place on online, is the fact of, you know, people kind of abandoning ship when it comes to independent artists, you know. And I think that if we have artist roundtables like this, and we have somebody like yourself, Lady Taze, and Jason, Nat, and Joanna, and the others that generally come to the show, are willing to share, that educates, you know. Somebody may not want to step up and say, you know what, I'm really paying attention, but I bet you once they get off of the show later on, they're going to think back on the conversations that we've had and maybe tweak what they're doing to do it differently and to be much more effective.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate the feedback. I really do. I know there was something when I first got on that you said, Lady Flavor, and you talked about me not selling out. And I can tell you that I was on the other end of the stick, and that's how I started. And it took me a long time. You know, I've really been doing music for about 10 years, and most recently the last 2 years is how I've been conscious and been getting a lot of national attention on the conscious level. But it really took me a long time to make that transition, which was a very difficult transition from going from mainstream, you know, what was popular, to, you know, more minority sector of the business, which is the conscious, and in my opinion, the sustainable portion. But I took a transition. I really did. I'm very, very happy and very, very blessed to be where I am now. And I wanted to point that out because everybody has a story and a backdrop. And it took me some time to realize my own value as an artist and also prioritize my value and allow my lifestyle with my music, which is not a very common thing for artists. You know, you heard Nate and you heard Jace, the other ones talk about, you know, the rapping and the killing and the ladies, just the booty shaking and the body selling and kind of deal. When you're interested in being a rap artist and you look at the top of the list, you'll see the Nicki Minaj's, you'll see, you know, some of the other artists, you know, the Lil' Kim's or whatever the case may be. But the reality is that, you know, when you're aligning your life style and examining yourself, which is a very hard thing to do, then you can come to a position of, you know, power, grace, and, you know, substance, like, you know, the Queen of Tifa, the NC Lights, myself. And it took some time to get there, I want to point that out. But I definitely appreciate the feedback because my music is very important to me, and a lot of people don't know, you know, the story, you know, not just the story behind my music, but what I do with the proceeds of my music. So, you know, I mentioned a little bit about Foster Enterprise, but I actually founded a youth center and here in a community center here in Tacoma, and you know, I take my music and I pay my staff at the youth center with my music. You know, I'm the private donor that funds that, that project. So
That's amazing.
Very important to me to present my business in a really clean business, ethical way that's going to have influence on not just my audience, but the people who are consuming my product.
Right. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful concept. I've got another caller in that I just want to bring in, and I wanted to ask you a little bit more about that. But the caller from the 541 area code, you're on the air with Toxic, Lady Taze, and Lady Flava.
Hey, what's going on? This is Space Poet. I'm in your chat room.
Okay. How are you, Space Poet?
I'm well. How about yourself?
I'm very good. So what do you think about the conversation that you've heard thus far?
Well, I really enjoyed the conversation. I think it's a really, it's sort of like a vast topic, you know. There's many ways to think about it and to go about it. And, you know, the internet has offered, you know, as far as distribution and things like this, it's just awesome. And I also wanted to say, though, I think a lot of it has to, you know, it always comes down to a financial thing, you know. And I think a lot of it also has to do with not just the artists, but it also has to do with the people that have the money, whether they're in the industry or not. So what I mean by that is there's lots of people, I mean, all you have to do is watch, what's that famous art house Christie's or whatever, where they sell all the art there. I mean, all you have to do is watch one of those auctions, and you'll see that even in this downtime in the economy, there's people buying, you know, a painting or a chair for millions of dollars. Or,
right.
You know, there's people that go out and they buy, like, bottles of wine that cost 10 grand on a regular basis. You know,
yeah.
That's just wine, you know, for dinner. So, I mean, it's really up to, like, some of these people as well, to when they see somebody, and I'm not talking about just setting up a foundation, because a lot of artists, they're just on the street level, and they don't qualify for a lot of grants and things like this. They're not, like, affiliated with, you know, what you need to be affiliated with to get some of these things. So it's like, if they have those kinds of resources, and they see somebody, whether they're great jazz musicians, blues musicians, whatever it may be. I mean, I've seen stories of just legendary jazz and blues musicians that, you know, they're just basically, you know, just completely flat broke and blah blah blah. And it's like, it's up to some of these people to instead of buying the bottle of wine, throw some money at some of these artists, because if you don't support
exactly.
the art, it's going to be lost, okay? There aren't lots of people like Miles Davis and Jimi Hendrix floating around, you know? So if you find one and you think they're on, you know, that kind of trip, or they're really talented like that, then it's up to you to support them, you know? I just wanted to
right.
throw that out there, because a lot of the time people just put it on the artist. And like you're saying, that's another thing that upsets me as well is, you know, when I say to people, I hear a lot of people when they talk to artists, they go, oh, well, that must be fun. And a lot of people assume that because you're an artist, that automatically that your work should be able to be downloaded for free and everything else. But guess what? The doctor, the lawyer, the plumber, this is a capitalistic society. And guess what? Everybody gets paid except when it usually comes down to the artist.
When
you know,
it comes to the art. Okay.
Yeah, then there's kind of like this kind of gray area, you know. Oh, give your music away for free, and then now you're just going to start to play gigs and things like that, which it can work. But at the same time, I'm just trying to say that artists need to be respected on the same level as doctors and lawyers and everything else, because great
yeah.
artists can affect the – change the culture, okay? They
exactly.
can do – I mean, true.
Yeah, and I appreciate what you're saying, Space Lord, because that's exactly like how I started out the show today, is the fact that, you know, artists are very powerful, and they're very influential in how we think and feel about life and about ourselves, you know. So even if it comes down to, you know, a track being something that makes you want to move and groove, that's a good feeling. It triggers an emotion. It makes me happy. It makes me smile. Or if it can go to, you know, a piece, you know, by Black Sax, that's I Love My Life, that says, you know, talks
yeah.
about the hardships of life, but I would never change that, because if I changed that, it would have changed everything of who I am right now. You know, so, you know, art is very influential. I have an artist friend, Akua, that is out of Dallas, Texas, who sent me a painting he created, and it's of a man who's kind of leaning against the wall with his head down. And depending on what my mood is, that painting itself, you know, tells me a different story. And I agree with you that, you know, we got to get behind. If there's somebody that says, I love Lady Taze, then that
mm-hmm.
person, in my mind, is responsible to tell somebody else.
Yep.
Don't hoard that to yourself. Don't keep that feeling to yourself. Get out there
totally
and spread the word and say, okay, you know, Lady Taze is going to be performing at the Nectar Lounge. You need to get there. You know, the tickets
yeah.
are only $10. You need to get there. You know,
yeah.
and I think that it is the responsibility of those that say they love an artist or artists to spread the
mm-hmm.
word and help that artist, you know, push forward. The other thing that I have an issue with, now that I'm getting on my soapbox, I have an issue with people wanting to get into showcases free.
Yeah.
And, you know, it costs money to have those venues, you know, whether depending on what the arrangement is with the venue itself, you know, it costs
mm-hmm.
money, and that's a way that the artist can walk away making some money along with the business who allowed them to have the showcase there. So
yeah.
there's so many people that are wanting to get in free, get on the VIP list and all of this. And I'm like, you know what, if you think
yeah.
that this group is that great or the people performing on the stage, then be willing to pay the $5 or $10, you know,
oh.
to get into the showcase. There's very few showcases that are up to like $20. You know, but then again, it goes back to, you know, paying $75 to go see Maxwell and Jill Scott. You know, and but then you couldn't pay, you know, $10 to go see Lady Taze. So it's interesting to me where people find the value. Like you said, you know, people pay hundreds, thousands of dollars for a bottle of wine, you know, that they're going to consume in, what, 30 minutes? You know, or they're going to go to an auction and buy a painting, a Monet or something, and spend, you know, millions of dollars. But, you know, a lot of those painters back then weren't even famous until way after they died.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, but it's like, how do we impress upon, you know, the fans and the potential consumers to get behind you guys now?
Yeah. Man, I think doing the showcases is real good for exposure, and I think we got to figure out how to get these people from spending 25 to just spending 10, like, to be entertained. You know, a lot of people, they just go off the person's name and off their track record and what they've done in the past. And I think a lot of consumers, a lot of people who spend the money, I think they are more so kind of cautious of spending their money on an unknown artist because they're afraid that they won't get their money's worth. Versus to them going to see Usher or going to see a Maxwell, they know they're getting their money's worth. But why not take a chance, though? You know what I'm saying? Like, why not, take a gamble to go see Lady Taz perform and see what it's all about? Because, like, me, myself, like, when I'm out in the streets and I might be at a corner store or something like that, and I see, like, an artist, like, on the corner, like, with the CDs, like, hey, bro, I got a CD, bro, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to sell $5. So the first thing I'll tell them is, bro, I'm not going to buy your CD for $5. Because I ain't heard you. But if you give it to me, I will listen to it, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, if I like what I hear, and if I hear about that artist, like, somewhere, like, performing, like, doing a show, then I go check them out live, you know what I'm saying? But I think a lot of the up-and-coming artists, where they mess up is expecting to get paid, expecting to get in showcases for free when they ain't paid no dues. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's definitely about paying the dues. But, you know, I don't necessarily, you know, even on that music concept, again, I would be the artist that says, you know what, I got a website, I got a MySpace, go ahead and check me out on that venue and connect with me. You know, you can reach my email, check my music out on that line, because that's where I have the free forms at for my music.
So Lady Taze and Space Poet and Toxic, what is the, I mean, how much time do you pay your dues? I mean, I totally get the exposure thing. I totally do get, you know, giving out demo CDs.
You know, I think, of course, I respect paying dues, you know what I mean? But I think, you know, you might, there's lots of artists out there, and some of them never perform, but what they do is they practice and practice and practice for years and years and years, and I really just think it really comes down to the quality of the art that you're putting out and the skill and the talent and the message, you know, and if you can move people and you can communicate emotion and affect people and move them and enlighten them, you know, and tell stories about the world and so on. I mean, if you can do that, then that's paying your dues, man. You know what I mean? So I don't look at it that way, like, oh, well, you know what, this dude wasn't working in a club for 10 years before he got discovered, so you know what, I'm not going to, you know, he hasn't paid his dues or whatever. You know, I just really just think it's like, you know, some artists, man, they just have that power to move people, and I think whenever you have that, whenever you acquire that, and you can come through like that, then that's all it means to me, I think.
And for me, like, paying dues is about building, you know, strong relationships. And what does that look like? You know, so if there are certain artists that are in the arena, like, you know, that you're in, like, for instance, the Black Stack, you know, I've definitely, you know, I went to a couple of their shows first, you know, and I really, you know, I did my research first. And so, you know, I paid dues to the art that followed me. you know, and a couple other artists like Laura Pichella. I mean, we reached out to each other the first time I seen her. She was performing for Dalai Lama 14 Key Arena in front of, you know, 10,000 people. You know, so I reached out to the artists before me in my area, and I did some research about who was doing what that aligned with what I was doing. And then I also made sure that, you know, I'm always in the public, I'm in a very respectable and presentable manner, and that's intentional. I have a philosophy that I'm always on interview. I'm always interviewing. So you never know who's watching. You know, Lady Flavor, I didn't know you. I didn't know you were watching me. And it's a blessing to, you know, to my life and to my art to know that. So, you know, you never know who's watching you. And your crowd's going to respond to that. Your consumers are going to respond to that. And, you know, there's been times that I go to sell my CD and I say my name. And they're like, oh, wow, you're Lady, wow. Heard a lot of that. Let me hear one of those. And that, for me, it's humbling and it feels very well, but I also let you know that I am paying the right dues, that I am, you know, presenting myself in the right manner in the public, that I am connecting to the right people, and that I'm on the right track. And for me, that's paying dues.
Yeah,
I totally get it. Oh, just before you say something, let me bring in one more caller. But we've only got like 10 minutes left in the show, but there is another caller. Call us from the 757 area code. You're on the air of Artist Roundtable.
Peace. How you doing? It's Noah.
Hey, Noah. Thank you so much for calling in. Everybody, this is one of my favorite hip-hop artists, conscious hip-hop artists from the East Coast. Noah, you're out of the Virginia area, correct?
That's correct. I'm in Virginia.
Okay. So why don't you just give them just a quick rundown about you and you know, what you've gone through as an independent artist.
As an independent artist, I've just been putting work in for maybe 10 years now. I'm a first and second round Grammy nominee in 45th and 46th Grammys. My music charted in Australia. As an artist, I've experienced a lot, and I've also worked on the other side. Dealing with promotions and productions. I'm an indie artist, 100%.
Awesome. So I know one of the things that you have done, Noah, in the past, and I'm not sure if you still do it now, but you're like all over the internet, like all over and constantly letting people know who you are and putting, you know, giving them a taste of your music and where they can find you. Is that something that you still do? And in doing so, do you find that was effective?
Yeah, that's something I'm still doing. I think we have to do that. It's about generating some type of excitement. It's a lot of that really feel what I say, that they feel what I do, but at the same time, it's my job to try to make everyone move at the same time, basically. I heard a comment earlier about artists performing at venues, and should they expect to be paid, or is it a pay-and-due process? And it's a little bit of both, because if you're coming to a venue and you know that you're bringing 100 people to that venue to see you and they're paying $20 to get in to see you, then yeah, as an artist, you get a cut. You should get a cut of that. You should be able to negotiate a cut of that. And that's the thing. I think everybody, we got to remember, everything has got to be negotiable. You know, everything has to be negotiable. If you're not bringing anything to that, if you're not bringing a whole bunch of people out, then yeah, your people they should expect to pay to get in. But I think everything has to be negotiable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So do you feel that at this point in your career, Noah, that you are experienced a sense of success from, you know, the years that you have put in?
I feel that I gained success, but I may define success a little different.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be what?
As far as gaining riches, as far as money, no, I haven't been successful in that way.
Well, I agree with you that it can be defined in different ways, right?
Right. So, I mean, it's because some people, I mean, to some people, that's how success is defined. To me,
mm-hmm. sure.
My thing, I just look at work. I'm just constantly working. I'm constantly putting work in. I don't see it as, am I still paying my dues? Because I just go to work. I just do my, I do what I love doing, and I just keep doing it. I think I've been, I feel a nice amount of success just now. I really do.
That's good.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, the thing
Go ahead.
No, I was saying the thing is, I'm always trying to make sure that I I'm relevant, basically, with what I'm doing. So that's why it's always some type of different campaign is being promoted, some type of different campaign that's going on or being prepared. I'm trying to stay relevant. I have to stay relevant. But at the same time, I know something that's going to be brought forth. It's going to spark them. It's going to shock everything. And it's going to be the right time. The timing is going to be perfect, and then that's when it's going to catapult to another level. So where it's not just underground, but where it's more sort of a mainstreamish. But the thing is doing it on my terms, and that's the crazy thing, you know. That's the crazy thing right there. That's the crazy thing when you try to do it. Mm-hmm.
Doing it on your own terms. I think. That's the way it should be done.
It should be. I mean, that's your work. You sacrificed your life for that, for your craft, for your art.
It made me so sad when I saw the article about Bob Marley not owning rights to his own music, so that now that he's passed, that his family is not getting the royalties of it. And I'm like, what? Here's this great icon, right? And he doesn't own the rights to his music between 76 and whatever, you know, Island Records owns it. I'm like, excuse me?
Wow. But that wasn't uncommon back then. That wasn't uncommon. It's not even uncommon
right.
now.
It's because it's a lack of education, you know, and all of that. But it's just like, I mean, I think that, you know, everybody's so gung-ho about, you know, making it going to look like being a mainstream artist. When you become mainstream and you sign those contracts, you're basically signing your life away and your art, you know. And so, you know, I don't know how many of you saw the video by Young Guru, but I think that was one of the most powerful videos that I've seen in regards to just keeping it real when it comes to mainstream and losing, you know, your soul in a sense to it. So I appreciate, you know, people staying true to themselves. I appreciate the hard work and due diligence that everybody puts in. And I agree with you, Noah, that, you know, to define success can be defined in so many different ways. And for so many, it is in money. But the one thing that I would encourage is for people to financially support the underground independent artists, because the things that you guys are doing, whether it means going into the studios, whether it means pressing CDs and getting graphics created, to, you know, books published, whatever it is, that all costs money. And the one thing that my mentor pressed upon me years ago when I had my coffee shop, she was like, Susan, your time is money, you know, and that the what you put into it to create these things for others' enjoyment is worth, you know, them coming, stepping up and supporting you financially. So then that helps you be able to create more, to take things to the next level, to get with better producers or get into a better studio or whatever it is that you need. You know, because I think another thing that's happening in the underground indie artist industry is people are burning bridges because everybody's trying to buddy up with somebody to get something free. And people aren't getting paid. And so because people aren't getting paid for the hard work that they're putting in, you know, relationships are being broken. So
There is quality service for service opportunities, and I've been fortunate enough to get blessed with some of those too. So those are, you know, important in some ways too. You know.
Well, the show has come to an end now, but I want to thank everybody for calling in and participating in today's Artist Roundtable. I thought y'all was going to leave me hanging out to dry today. I was getting ready to just play tracks for 2 hours. Cause I'm like, nobody's coming. This is usually when I start the Artist Roundtable, there's somebody already on the line ready to go. And that didn't happen today, but you guys did not disappoint me. This was a great conversation, you know, great having such a variety of artists.
Can I say one more thing? Oh, yeah, I want to just say, one of the reasons the music was, one of the reasons the music was so great back a little while ago with like What's Going On by Marvin Gaye or John Coltrane with Love Supreme or Miles or any of these sorts of artists, Jimi Hendrix, is because these people were, they were on a spiritual journey and they were finding their spirituality through their art. Okay. And so, I think the true artist really makes their art part of their spirituality, and it becomes a meditation. And so, if we practice like that, then we start to become realized, and we benefit in many ways. So, always I think if we can look at it from that point of view, that through our art is helping us to progress spiritually. And then, if we become great artists or something happens and we have some sort of material success, then that is wonderful too. But, we just need to understand that some of the greatest souls on the entire earth are people that have gone into meditation and contemplation, and you've never even seen them or heard them, and there was no thinking of any sort of monetary gain, but they have become, some of the greatest teachers, like a Buddha or something like this, for instance. But,
and
that's why I just wanted to say it's like concentrate in the business. You can never depend on, it doesn't matter how talented you are, the business or anything else, because, Berry Gordy, when Marvin came to him with What's Going On, he didn't even want to release it because he didn't think it would sell. So that's what I'm talking about, is, we need more philosophers and more spiritual people in the actual business itself, the people that can make the moves who aren't always thinking about the dollar, you know what I mean? And so I just want to say, make the art, your art form, part of your spirituality, and you're going to benefit no matter what.
Amen to that.
Thank you so much for that, Space.
Thank
Solar.
You so much, Lady Flavor, for this forum. I am truly blessed. Thanks to everyone who is on the line and who is on the line with me and those before me. I'm truly blessed. Thank you so much.
Girl, I appreciate you calling in, Lady Faze, and I definitely will be seeing you at Dope Emporium.
Yes, 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 and we'll
Wonderful.
Be able to catch up hopefully
yes.
a little before that.
Definitely. And Toxic, if you have not submitted, you should really consider getting involved in Dope Emporium. It's going to be an absolutely amazing event. I'm so excited to be a part of, this year's Dope Emporium. And all you have to do is contact the committee at dopeemporium@gmail.com. If you're not interested in getting involved, I would definitely encourage you to just come out. It's going to be November 13th at Washington Hall between 4 and midnight. So...
Yeah, I'm down for all that. Could you send me a link to it so I can go ahead and get it?
I will definitely do that. I'll send that to you on Facebook. But I want to thank Nat Burns calling in from the East Coast, the Baltimore, D.C. area, to Joanna calling in from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Toxic from right here in our hometown of Seattle, Washington, Lady Taze from the 253, and my buddy Jace from right here in Seattle, Washington. Space Poet, where are you from?
I spent most of my life in the Bay Area, and I've lived on the East Coast, but right now I am living in Oregon. I live in Oregon right now, actually.
Oh, you're in Oregon. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're not far away.
No,
right here.
Are you guys in Seattle?
I'm in Seattle.
Oh, okay. What's up? Okay, yeah, I've never been to Seattle or anything. Yeah.
Okay. So if you're on Facebook, come find me. I'm Lady Flava on Facebook or Flava News.
Oh, you know what? I will. I'm not on Facebook right now. I actually only use Twitter, but
okay.
Do you have a Twitter account? Are you on Twitter?
I do. It's Flava News on Twitter.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, I'm 8 Colors of the Sun, and that's the number 8. So
okay.
Actually, if you click on my profile on BTR, my music and link is right there. So.
Oh, okay. We'll have to do that. So thank you so much for coming out. I really appreciate you. You're new to me, and I'm new to you, but I appreciate you coming in and participating in today on the panel. And Noah, I'm so appreciative that you called in today and got involved in the Artist Roundtable. So thank you to everybody who came out. We'll be doing this again next Monday. It's every Monday. Today was 12:30. Next Monday it's going to be at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time. We go back and forth. Otherwise, this coming Thursday I'll be doing a feature for Dope Emporium. So, come out and meet some of the talents that are going to be performing at Dope Emporium. And then always stay tuned for my Flossom and Tossom show. So, again, thank you to all of you that came out to listen to the show live, to those that were in the chat room, to those that participated in the show, and to all of you that come back and check out the archives. You make this worthwhile for me to do for you. Take care. Thank you so much, Lady Taze.
No problem. Thank you. Goodbye.
All right. Thank you, Toxic.
No problem. Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.